Welcome to the Edinburgh Side of You, episode 24. My name's Neil Caldwell. James Cocker, a.k.a. IT, is still here.
I am indeed. I'm not in Canada yet.
No. When will this saga end?
Possibly another 2 months, but yes. We'll see. I say that every time.
Okay, anyway, what's in your fridge this week, IT?
Right, getting into it, as we know you like to do. I've gone for three bottles here, possibly a slightly odd selection. We've got two dries and a Perry. So we've got a Tut's Clump dry. We've had a couple of Tut's Clump in the past.
Yep.
So I'm really not sure what that one's going to behold, being a dry. We've also got a Dunkerton's dry. Now, we are fans of Dunkerton's, but never had the dry before.
Yeah, we did have a dry Dunkerton's before. But that was our least favourite Dunkerton's.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how those two go down. But then, to spruce things up a wee bit, we have got a Burrow Hill Perry. We haven't had a Perry in a while, from what I can remember.
Yeah.
So, two very dry, and one I'm guessing, which is going to be quite sweet. Can you get dry Perry?
Well, this one says medium dry Perry.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah, you must be able to get dry.
But all three are brands we are fans of. And... But they're two dry and one Perry. So. Which way do we start? Dry, don't we?
Dry. We start with dry.
So we do... Dunkerton's probably got a sweeter aspect to it. I suggest we go Tut's Clump.
Yeah, that sounds a plan.
Tut's now, Clump Special Reserve.
Tut's 6%. Clump is... It is decent stuff, but I've just... There's something about it that I've just not been a fan of. It's not been quite to my taste. So let's see what we think of this one.
But your tastes are growing ever picky, as we know.
Well, I wouldn't say picky. They're changing. They are getting drier. So, what do we got here?
Slightly cloudy.
Very, very tad cloudy. Quite fizzy. Doesn't smell of much.
It's definitely dry. It's dry and quite tart.
Yeah, just for a dry, that's actually... Maybe my image of what the previous Tut's Clumps were like wasn't right, but that's... Yeah, for a dry, I quite like that.
It's not dry in the sense of that kind of tannin dry.
Mm. Earwax dry.
From West Country, it's more tart. It almost reminds me of that Perthshire cider, what do you call it? Cairn Mór.
Okay.
The tart version of that.
Oh, wait, I haven't had that.
Oh, which I've had outside of the show.
We nearly had it this show until I found out.
Yeah,
we nearly had
it. Yeah, I wouldn't even describe it as dry. More tart than dry. It tastes a bit dry at the start, but there's definitely nothing sweet about it, so in that sense it's...
True, true. Yeah, it's not bad. I'm not really finding much else to say about it.
I think people that like dry air ciders will like this. It's a bit fizzy for maybe some tastes as well.
Mm.
But I'm not a massive fan of it.
I don't dislike it. It's not bad. So this is the Special Reserve. That's Clump.
So what grade are we giving it?
6%. Grade. Right. What am I going to give it? I'm thinking 5.5, 6-ish, something like that.
So which one?
6.
I'll give it 6 as well.
Okay.
No, actually, I won't. I'll give it 5.5.
Okay.
Because it's not... I finished that glass there.
You have finished it quicker than I did.
And usually when we have a bottle of this kind of size of cider, we will have half the bottle or maybe a third of the bottle left. I would be quite happy for you to have the rest of that bottle if you wanted.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight you over it.
Okay.
It's still drinkable. It's okay. People who have different tastes in cider will like this.
Yeah.
So that's why it's getting a 5.5.
Right.
That's fair. So overall grade 5.75.
5.75 for the Tut's Clump Special Reserve.
Right.
Okay.
One dry to another.
Yes, so the Dunkerton's.
Dunkerton's dry organic cider. The thing about Dunkerton's, they don't really go to town with the names, do they? I mean, there's the occasional one like your Black Fox. But apart from that, premium organic.
Yeah.
You've got just organic. You've got what's the other one? Medium dry. They don't have outstanding names, do they? This one's dry organic.
One we had before was Browns, which was made out of the Browns apple. But even that's not quite as...
It's not an exciting name.
Exciting. Well, hold on. Don't mix it with me, Tut's Clump. I haven't finished that yet.
Okay, so I'm going to fire into the... But it does have a picture of... looks like a black cat holding an apple in the front of it.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's a story behind that somewhere.
It does look like quite a nice sort of attractive style looking bottle, I assume.
Yeah, it. See, this is it's the kind of bottle that doesn't put you off because often
No.
you'll see a label looks too modern and you think it's just going to be a very kind of commercial cider.
Yeah.
But this is clearly not that, which is a good thing.
That's good.
Okay.
That's what a dry cider should taste
A
like.
bit darker, a bit cloudier than the Tux Clump.
It's not, it's just slightly darker. It's not,
Oh yeah.
that's good, isn't it?
It's got that Dunkerton's. Yeah, I can see. It is similar to the other Dunkertons, and it's. I mean, it does what it says on the tin. It's
How would you
Dunkertons,
describe that generic Dunkerton's?
and it's dry. I don't know where. I don't know.
It's the kind of thing that I didn't when I first had Dunkerton's. I didn't like it, but I really love it now. And it's there in old Dunkerton's guide. You could call that even a criticism. You could call it a good thing. If you like it, it's a good thing. I, as dry ciders go, that's my one. I would say it's as good as a dry cider gets for my tastes.
Okay.
Slightly fizzy. That kind of same nice. The other cider that reminds me has this thing that Dunkerton's has as well is Sheppey's.
Yes.
But it's that kind of nice wood chippings
The Sheppies,
aroma
yeah. I've
to
had a
it.
few Sheppies recently. The Sheppies all have that twang to them, and I can see that this has got part of that Sheppies
Yeah.
twang. I just feel sometimes it can be a bit too much.
A bit too much, but the sweeter ones maybe take the edge off it,
It
don't
makes
they?
it, yeah, it makes it a bit harder to drink in a way. But so just to compare, like this Dunkin's, it's definitely, I'd say it's got more going on than the Tux Clump Special Reserve, but I'm not sure whether I like that extra bit going on it, whether it's a bit too
Oh,
twangy and
I'd take
overpowering
this
for
over the
me.
Tux Clump Special Reserve dry one any day.
So you do like the extra bit that's going on.
Well, I always like the extra bit. I mean, if you like Dunkerton's, you pretty much like the extra bit.
Well, yeah. But there's more extra bit in this. And the other Dunkertons.
What extra? Are we still talking about the same thing
I
here?
don't know. The kind of twangy thing you get. It is definitely more overpowering than
It's
this
one of
one
those
than the
things
other
that they call it maybe
Dunkertons.
mouth feel, where it makes your mouth seem dry because this is something that's common to the sweet and the dry ciders within Dunkerton's. They've got that dry mouth feel as opposed to a dry taste. But this one has both.
Exactly. Yes.
But it's not
Yes, that makes
actually
sense.
particularly dry itself. Does that make sense? It is a dry cider, but we've had dry air ciders, but it's still got that dry mouth feel that's common to all
Yeah,
Dunkerton's ciders.
it does. It does. Right.
I quite like that. Don't get me wrong, I prefer the sweeter Dunkerton's, but I quite like it.
7%. So it is a tad stronger than the Tux Clump. No.
I would give that a 7. I mean, by dint of the fact, look, we've both nailed that glass. So it
Well,
must be okay.
so you're giving it 7. What would I give it? Oh, I'm struggling with this one. I just don't know which one. Right, I'm going to try some Tux Clump.
Is this allowed in the show?
Yeah, I've done it before.
To do a regrade before you grade again?
I'm not regrading. I'm retasting.
Retasting before you grade the second one.
Well, it kind of makes more sense while I'm plucking a finger out the air, doesn't it? Because the but we'll get to that later. Oh, what do I want? Right, okay. I'm going to give this a 6.5 because I do slightly
6.5.
prefer it over the Tux Clump.
I'll give it a 7, which gives an overall grade of 6.75,
Okay.
which is re relatively fair. I mean, poor for Dunkerton standards, but this is just our tastes, isn't
Aye.
it? So, your dry cider fans, if you're a dry cider fan and you're a Dunkerton's fan, this is the perfect cider for you, without a shadow of a doubt, which you probably already knew if you
Probably.
were a fan of dry and Dunkerton cider. So, there you go. That's the two dry ones done. We press on to the perry.
Yes, let's get a tad sweeter, even though it's only a medium dry.
You should have told the listeners where we got the previous two from.
I was just thinking that in my head. The Dunkerton's actually picked up in I was in Bakewell. Now, see, I was in Bakewell a couple of weekends ago, and I think I had the
The Lake
wrong
District.
impression. No, Peak District.
Peak District.
I had the wrong impression in my head that you could go into any town in England and they'd have some decent cider somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I very struggled in Bakewell to find a single, not even in like an off license or anything like that, nothing. But there was a farm shop that we went to, and they had quite a decent range of Dunkertons, etc. So. Where the hell was it?
Is
I
that
can't even remember the name of it.
probably an
So
organic
somewhere in
specialist?
Bakewell this was bought, and the Tux Clump is thanks to a James Bucknell.
Yes, and the thing is, the shop that you probably got the Dunkerton's in was probably an organic farm specialist.
It was, what the hell was it? It was a farm shop related to this big posh house.
But that's where, I mean, on it. But, the only time I've seen Dunkerton's is in a real specialist place or in an organic specialist place.
Yeah.
So even if it's an organic food store, they'll sell organic cider.
True.
This being one of the more common organic ciders.
True.
Anyway, will we press on to Burrow Hill Perry?
Let's try this Burrow Hill Perry.
This says a medium dry Perry. Where's this one from, Burrow Hill? Where is Burrow Hill?
Burrow Hill. We've had Burrow Hill on the show before.
It's in Somerset.
Because we had one of their ciders before. This label's very, very different to their previous one.
I like that Perry.
Okay.
That's a good Perry.
It's very, very light, very pale coloured.
It is, but it's usually Perry's too sweet almost sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely. See, it's not bad. It's very drinkable. It's not as sweet as some of the other Perrys we've had. Being a medium dry probably is probably why.
But this is good. But usually, I think there's occasionally we've had maybe one Perry that was a bit drier and it just didn't work. Mm. But this is good. This is a nice balanced Perry to it.
I just feel this could be a bit more flavour or something in there for me.
See, I'm not quite sure what you want anymore. Because you still say you prefer the sweeter to the drier, yeah?
No, just not too dry.
Just not too dry. You also want it to be proper. I would say you pretty much just want real cider now. But you also want it to have something interesting. Very hard to achieve all that.
I know, I'm getting fussy. Well, no, it doesn't need to be interesting. It's just,
I mean, as a perry goes, this is pretty good.
It is a decent perry. It's just,
there's a really nice thing at the end of that, where it's like a false sweetness. It's not sweet at all, but I think you do get that added little bit of extra something that you want.
No, you're right there, because do you know what I think's happened? We have done it in the right order by going from the dry to the medium dry perry, but I think there was such a strong twang in the previous two that my first sip of this
still had some of the
went the opposite way. It tasted like water in a
too
way
alien.
Because the previous ones had such a strong taste, because this one is much more of a delicate taste.
It is. It's almost like an exceptional white wine. I don't really like white wine, but occasionally you have a really good one and you actually can appreciate it. This is a bit like that.
Because as I drink more of it,
I mean, it looks like white wine for a start, doesn't it?
I am appreciating and tasting the delicate taste of it more now that my taste buds have forgotten about the strong taste of the last two.
Yeah.
So it is growing on me.
I think that's really good, actually. I think if you're into really, really big, strong American-style flavours, it's not your thing, right? But if you like a subtle, sophisticated drink, and you like perry, then I would suggest this one. Because the reason I say the American flavours is a lot of perries that you get, the basic ones are just cheap, like pear lemonade, aren't they?
Yeah.
Almost like a hooch or something, some kind of non-cider drink. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're
cheap and nasty.
Normally under the label.
Big, sweet things. This is not that. This is a more refined perry. It's a good perry. So I'm going to give that an 8.
An 8? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a high mark.
Well, it used to be just a mark, but these days.
No, I'm not going that high. I'm going to give it, perry-wise, I'm going for 7.
7?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're being a touch harsh, but 7.5 is still a good grade overall. So fair play. In fact, it's probably one of the higher perries that we've marked. In fact, it's the best perry I can remember having in the show.
No, I definitely prefer other perries. It's lacking slightly for me, this one.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, my taste buds are demanding too much these days, but it's definitely lacking slightly for me.
Okay, 7.5. Three strong ciders.
7.5 grading.
7.5 grades.
6.3%. Yeah, you wouldn't know that.
Okay, mixed bag. Reasonably successful.
Yes.
Not bad.
I think the dries and the. It was good to try a couple of dries. We normally kind of too a bit wary about those and stay with our where we're happy on the medium dry side of things. Yeah. But it was good to dig into a couple of dries and explore that, which I'm sure in a year's time we'll be loving the dries.
Maybe we will.
Maybe.
Anyway, we'll move on to cider news if we have any.
Cider news, yes. We've got quite a lot of cider news this week. I'll start off with possibly the least exciting and possibly most concerning story.
Concerning?
Which is that some people are predicting a cider shortage.
I saw this.
Due to the recent flooding that we've had down south.
Yes, there has been, yeah.
Basically due to all the waterlogged orchards and the trees dying.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to find out within the coming weeks as the trees hopefully start to blossom
what the crop yields,
which ones have died and yeah, which ones haven't.
But this is more of an issue to your smaller retailer or craft or farm.
Not even necessarily that. It's just all because any orchards down south were affected massively.
I'm sure Weston's will find a way to make a few bob.
I know. To be honest, people are going to be going on about predicting cider shortages, but I doubt it's going to be. I doubt we're going to see a shortage of cider in pubs somehow.
Yeah, but it's the local independent craftsmen.
I know.
And craftswomen that I'm worried about.
Yeah, some of those for sure. Because especially after last year, it was such a good summer that the crop was so good for last year's. So maybe that'll balance it out.
But is it not one of these things some ciders are actually aged? So like they'll be using, like last year's crop will still be in the press and will be aging in a proper drying.
So
it's more next year's cider batches.
Probably, yes. I think that's roughly the scheme it works on.
Emigrating just in time.
Yeah, I'm escaping the country before we run out of cider. That's my plan. That's my plan. But kind of coming on from that, it is cider festival time.
Cider festival time, yeah.
This weekend, 3rd and 4th of May, all sorts going on around the country. Honington Sausages and Cider Festival in East Devon.
Sausages and Cider Festival.
The Wurzels are playing there. Sounds quite good. Reading Beer and Cider Festival, where Touch Clump is going to be having its full range of ciders.
Yeah. You could go down there and criticise them.
It's this weekend as well. That starts on the 1st. No, I don't go to criticise. I go to discover why things taste they do.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also the West Country Cider and Sausage Festival.
This sausage and cider festival.
I know, it
sounds like a very
it?
Good idea.
Two of my favourite things. The West Country Sausage Cider and Sausage Festival is actually held by the Bristol Cider Shop.
And them again.
Yes. And they're doing some quite interesting things of late. I don't know if you've come across this, but at their Cider and Sausage Festival, there's going to be cider speed dating.
Cider speed dating? How's that going to work?
Well, basically, it's like speed dating, but with cider. So you get to meet up with like 12 different dates, 5 minutes each.
And the dates, the dates are other people, not cider.
No, but yeah, but both.
Right.
With each date, you have a different cider.
Okay, and you can explain whether you like the person or the cider.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds quite cool. So that's going on. But they're also, Bristol Cider Shop are launching a new cider.
Right.
But they want our help.
Oh, I saw you talking about this
on
Twitter.
I did. They want our help to name it. And if you can suggest the name for their new cider, they'll put you into a draw where you could win 100 pints.
To be honest, if I was getting... If they use my name that I give them, I get put into a draw to potentially win something.
No, everyone gets put into a draw whether they use your name or not, from what I could tell. I didn't originally think it's if they use your name.
Yeah, so they can't be bothered coming up with their own name of cider. They put it to the masses, they'll probably get an exceptional name. And then somebody has, the person that's come up with this name, who will probably make Bristol Cider Shop thousands of pounds, gets what?
Well,
The chance of winning something.
I might be wrong.
Me cynical.
But anyway.
I would expect a better prize and a guaranteed prize.
Either way, any chance to win 100 pints of cider is good enough for me. So it's a 6% medium dry score.
Have you entered the competition?
I have.
And?
And I'm not telling you my name.
Why not?
Because you might copy it and then...
How could I copy it? Because then we would both be...
Because then I won't get the credit for it. Okay, if I can remember it. It was Drizzle My Brizzle.
Drizzle My Brizzle.
Because Brizzle is a name for the... I think it's the accent of Bristol people. And Drizzle as in like drink. It works quite nice, doesn't it?
Do you not think it sounds a bit risque?
Well, yeah, I know, possibly, but we'll see. Because it's got to be something to do with Bristol, you see.
Well, it's not a bad name, not a bad name. Probably too risque for a cider.
I shouldn't have given that out on air. But anyway, get onto Bristol Cider Shop's website or Facebook even, and suggest a name to be in a chance to win 100 pints. What do you mean 100 pints of cider? That would be pretty nice.
Well, how is it served to you? Is it served in the number of bottles that equals 100 pints? Or do you just get 100 pint tokens?
I don't know. I didn't look in the small print. But either way, 100 pints of cider sounds good to me. But okay. Anyway, getting on to some news closer to home.
Right.
The Jolly Judge.
The Jolly Judge, the pub in Edinburgh, which has received rave reviews from the Edinburgh Cider Review.
Is having a cider and perry festival.
It is?
Yes.
When?
Probably, well, comparing it to the other ones, you could probably say a mini cider and perry, cider and perry festival. But it's going to be on the 14th to 20th of May.
14th to the 20th of May, yeah.
And they're going to have up to 9 ciders available at any one time.
9 ciders?
9 ciders or perries.
Right. What we're going to have to do is one workout. Have you got anything more to say on this, or can I just talk on it?
You can talk.
Because this is the first I've heard of this.
I'm surprised.
So I'm now actually forgetting about the show, and I'm just planning how that's going to work in the weekend. I take it it's over a Saturday-Sunday period, yeah?
Well, it's 14th to 20th, so it's a week.
Week beginning?
I don't know. I don't have show in calendar.
I know we're still broadcasting, but I'm just actually interested.
Okay, Wednesday the 14th.
Okay. So we need to think about this.
Until Tuesday the 20th.
Do we go two distinct evenings?
It's my birthday on the 16th.
So your birthday on the 16th.
So my parents are up. Anyway, we should really discuss this afterwards.
We'll probably discuss it after the show. My one fear is that we could get seriously drunk.
I know, with 9 different ones. Well, to be honest, knowing the Jolly Judge.
They serve it in half pints, don't they?
Anything stronger than like 5%, they sell it in half pints.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, but we'll figure out how to do it. We'll certainly be indulging in this cider festival.
Yes, we shall make sure not to miss this. So thank you, Jolly Judge. We shall be there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they actually acknowledge us this time. Because whenever I've been, and I don't know about you, but I've been at least, 15 times now to the Jolly Judge.
Okay, I've only been a handful of times.
But I've mentioned the show, but the bar staff don't seem to be that knowledgeable about cider.
I think Rosie is the manager. We need to track down Rosie.
Right, we need to track down Rosie. I think...
They have become more active on Twitter recently as well.
Have they? Yes. Okay.
Because they didn't mention us.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they mentioned us.
Oh, they finally broke their silence.
But Jolly Judge is great. Jolly Judge is it's up the top of the Royal Mile, off James Court, I think it is.
Slightly disappointed last time I was there. They only had a Westons on draft, and that was all.
Yeah,
but it was a different Westons. It was actually quite good, so...
Okay. What was it?
Maybe that new perry that you were talking about.
Oh, right. Okay. Interesting.
Country perry, maybe? Something like that. Western's country.
Yes, that's right.
It was quite good, but I was just disappointed that that was all they had.
Yeah. Anyway,
carry on.
9 on tap at the same time. So, onwards to a few random points. The Queen paid a visit to the Pope at the start of the month.
She did, yes.
Did you hear about this?
I heard about this on the actual news, not the side on news.
But did you know that as a gift, she gave the Pope a bottle of cider?
I didn't know that, and I'm quite surprised by it.
As well as apparently honey, whiskey and eggs.
Right.
But what I want to know...
So what did the Pope make? A nice cider cake?
Yeah, that's true. What I want to know is what cider the Queen gave the Pope. I couldn't tell from the videos and photos online. It was like in a hamper.
Oh, is this you questioning the listener?
Yeah, I am. If anyone knows what cider the Queen gave to the Pope, I want to know.
Hold on.
It's an interesting one.
The Queen gave the Pope cider, whiskey, eggs and...
Honey.
Honey?
Yeah.
Where was the honey from?
Oh, I don't. I didn't take note of that.
Because you could maybe figure it out. It's maybe something like... Because there's 4 things there, yeah?
Yeah.
So maybe it was something from Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So whiskey from Scotland.
Yeah.
Maybe the cider was even from Cornwall.
Well, to be honest, right, well, one thing I can say is that I know that this article I read was on The Australian, theaustralian.com, and right. They spelt whiskey with an E.
Yeah, but that's just The Australian's fault.
Okay.
But let's not...
So that doesn't mean that it came from Ireland, the whiskey?
No, I would hope it didn't. I would hope it didn't. But let's just assume that the Australians have made mistakes. I mean, it's a reasonable assumption to make.
Well, okay. I don't know where this is going. So anyway, if anyone knows what kind of cider the Queen bought the Pope, let us know, because it would be very interesting. I mean, it's unlikely to be a Strongbow or a Magna.
You'd think not.
Something a bit more. But
maybe it was her own. Maybe because there's the Crown Estates.
Well, exactly. It probably was, because I think it was the whiskey was Balmoral. That rings a bell.
Mm. Balmoral. Yeah.
Balmoral Estate whiskey, I think.
Yep.
So it's probably one of those things. Anyway, I'm going to mention the Queen again for a second time on the podcast, which
two mentions for the Queen,
which you'd never have thought about.
A secret royalist.
Now, this may seem a bit random to start with, but did you know that the Queen has introduced a new breed of dog?
No, I didn't.
It's called the Dorgie.
Dorgie, what is a corgi hybrid?
Yeah, it's a cross between a corgi
and a dog.
And a, because it happened when basically one of her corgis mated with a Dachshund named Pipkin, which belonged to Princess Margaret.
Right.
And out of that came a Dorgie.
Where's this going?
This is going is that one of the Queen has four doggies, right?
Right.
And one of them's called Cider.
One of them's called Cider.
Yep.
It's not Cider News, IT.
Next.
Next.
I thought it was quite a nice fact.
It's a ridiculous fact.
It's a nice fact.
Carry on.
It's a nice fact. The other one, do you want to know what the names of the other ones?
Nope.
Berry, I'll tell you anyway. Berry, Candy, and Vulcan.
Excellent.
That's quite a cool name for a dog, Vulcan.
Vulcan.
I can't imagine the Queen it's calling the dog Vulcan.
It's a species in Star Trek. Anyway, carry on, next.
Okay, lastly for Cider News. Krabby's owner, so they're a big company behind them, Halewood International.
Right.
Has unveiled a new American style cider.
American style cider?
Yes.
In the UK?
Yes.
So the cider has been unveiled in the UK.
It's coming to the UK. Now, I'm not a fan of American style cider. It's like, remember that Hornsby's?
Yeah.
That's American style.
But you've had JK's and you like JK's.
Well, that I would say JK's isn't American style cider, even though
it's just a very good craft cider.
America. But when I went to America and there was Woodchuck and Angry Orchard, those as well as Hornsby's, they all had the similar kind of artificially kind of appley taste to them.
But then you'll get Americans that might say the same about British cider.
I know.
Because they'll say, oh, it's just that generic Strongbow Magners or whatever. Whereas, and the same way, for instance, when people in China, I lived in China, yes, and people in China think that Western food is all unhealthy garbage because the only reference they have of Western food is McDonald's.
Yeah, well, possibly. But it is literally called American-style cider.
Right.
So it is a thing. But I will reserve my judgment until I try it.
But also it might just mean that we all know that Americans like everything with cheese on it and they like big, cheap, sugary-style flavours.
Yeah.
So it might just be that kind of cheap.
It might just be.
Sugary but, and I mean, salty flavour.
It's called Lazy Jack's. It's apparently going to be a cloudy apple cider, which for this kind of style sounds a bit odd. But the one thing which sort of raises my hopes slightly is that they've said that they are not going to take this brand into the fruit-flavoured category, which is booming, which everywhere seems like. You see, even Carling's now got Carling Berry Cider.
Yeah.
So they've specifically said that they are not going to make fruit-flavoured Lazy Jacks, as it's called.
Well, maybe they're going for their own distinct avenue.
So,
imagine
yes.
It's got to the stage where you're now distinguished in the market by not doing fruit cider.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully. That'll be the way it's going. But it'll be in supermarkets from June.
All right. Well, we'll probably give it a go. If you're still here, you'll give it a go.
If I'm still here, I'm not in Canada, I'll give it a go.
So is that wraps up Cider News?
So that wraps up the Cider News for this episode.
That's a good haul of Cider
it
News.
It is a decent haul.
Sometimes it's for the best when we have a month without a show. Was that an entire month? Maybe 5 weeks even?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
It's a good batch of Cider News with some nonsense in there as well, just to temper things a little. What do we do at this juncture of the show?
Pubs.
Pubs?
Is it pubs?
Well, We haven't reviewed any recently, though.
No.
But have you got something to say?
I do have something to say. The Guildford Arms tweeted us.
Oh, yeah. I remember, because I was in the Guildford Arms the day before the last podcast.
Oh, were you now?
And I had Orchard Pig.
Ah.
And I just forgot to mention the podcast.
So you haven't even talked to me or tweeted us or updated the site. I see. So the Guildford Arms tweeted. So did you mention, is it... the day before or the day after they tweeted us?
Well, they tweeted us the day after the show, but I was in the Guildford Arms the day before the show.
Okay, so did you mention the podcast to them?
I might have done. Sometimes, quite often.
You might have done. Anyway, so...
Well, I've run out of business cards now.
Well, I haven't been there. But, yeah, the news is Guildford Arms, apparently, and you can confirm, I believe, then.
I can confirm. I've had Orchard Pig Truffler.
They sell Orchard Pig.
Yeah.
And occasionally have other guest ciders on, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's surprising that we've kind of missed that one. I've often passed
it's one of these pubs. In fact, there's a square of pubs that are in that section, which is like a 1 minute walk from Waverley actual station.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in that square that's sort of behind St Andrew's Square.
Yeah, it's like between St Andrew's Square and Princess Street.
Yeah. And in some ways it's very hidden, although it's in the most central location in Edinburgh.
Yeah, true.
But and I quite like that, because there's four pubs in that area that are they're all quite good in their own different ways.
Okay.
So maybe we should do a tour of that exact square.
Well, I want to go there. So I'm surprised we missed it. But yeah, Orchard Pig. Because I don't believe there's any other Edinburgh pub that sells Orchard Pig. I've seen it down in England, but I've never seen Orchard Pig in Edinburgh.
So. No, but it's one of these ones that, like, I was impressed they had it, but I wasn't head over heels because you get it in Tesco.
Yeah, I know.
But it's a good cider.
But it's good. I like Orchard Pig.
And it's a very good cider.
So that's the cider pub news for this week. But as always, if you're out and about in Edinburgh and you come across some decent cider, do let us know.
Yeah. And be honest, though, it's got to be good for us to even go there now. Because
true. I still think we need to do over Southbridge area. There's a whole area of the map there that we haven't done.
Yeah, but there's not many.
You've said that in the past. We go out to an area and you're like, we're not going to find anything tonight. But often we will be surprised. So we can't easily discount a whole area.
Well, we could, right. Before episode 25, we've got quite a lot to do before episode 25.
Yeah.
Right, we've got to do, we've got to go and visit the square that I just talked about.
Oh, that square. Yeah. Okay.
We've got to go to your sort of undefined location over Southbridge.
Yep.
Going to Nicholson Street area. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, a bit further down.
All right.
Okay, we'll do that. There is the Brass Monkey there, I suppose, but we've done the Brass Monkey in Leith.
Okay.
There's another Brass Monkey, and it'll say the same shit. No okay. There's one more cider tour for us, perhaps.
Unless a listener gets in touch and tells us that there's, like, several amazing cider pubs in their area, such as Collington.
We're not going to Collington.
Well, if there's decent cider in Collington,
I'll guarantee you there is no decent cider in Collington.
If you live in Collington, then there's decent cider, do let us know.
And I will give you £3,000.
Oh, okay. Heard that here first.
Right. There's no chance you'll get decent cider in Collington.
What's wrong with Collington?
It's nothing. But there's not much there apart from a bowling club and a driving school. Or a driving examination hall. Anyway, we'll press on. Did there any correspondence recently, IT?
A couple of bits. I had an email the other day from Carlene.
Carlene?
And Carlene is organising a hen do for her best friend in Edinburgh next weekend.
Excellent. Do they need a cider tour?
Apparently she's a huge cider fan. And she was wondering where we'd recommend as the best pubs for this.
Well, okay. Excellent that she got in touch. But I'm assuming that she's got in touch, she's seen the website.
She did say, would love to visit all on the map, but doubtful can manage this in 48 hours, although I'd like to try.
But then if she'd looked at the map,
yes,
she would know that there's a highly recommended section.
Well, I did point this out to her.
And?
What I was thinking, I mean, I just wanted your thoughts on this, really, in general.
Well, the tour that we did the other day, where we did, we started the Jolly, better to start high in Edinburgh. If you're new to Edinburgh, we probably should have mentioned this before.
Mm.
Edinburgh is obviously, like any city, has longitude and latitude. So it has direction in that sense, yes? North, south, east, west is what I mean.
Yes.
Two-dimensional direction. But there's a third aspect, which is the third dimension.
Edinburgh's 3D.
So if you start at the Jolly Judge, you're at the highest point.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So it's better to start high and then work your way down, I would suggest. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
So the Jolly Judge is about the highest pub in Edinburgh, yes? And also a good starting point for cider. Then work your way down the Royal Mile. You could then turn right. You could then go to Brewdog and get some
Sanford Orchards.
You could get some Sanford Orchards.
Yeah, I suggested Brewdog.
You could then work your way through the Grass Market. If they're a hen do, they're going to take a while to get through the Grass Market.
Well, yes, that's true.
But if they want to find the good cider places, there's a few on the map there that they can look. And then there's the Hanging Bacts if they go around to...
I did call out Alexander Graham Bell because they're, as far as I'm aware, the ones that sell the greatest range of cider.
Yeah, but would you say that's the Hindu area? I'd say if they're going to start in the afternoon...
True.
That's more where they should go later on. We'll tell them to look at all the highly recommended ones on the map.
Yeah.
But generally, start at the Jolly Judge. Do all the ones south of in the Old Town area, Old Town West End. And then later on, go to Alexander Graham Bell. And then by that stage, you'll probably be thinking of going out properly for the evening. And there's a vast array of George Street clubs.
Aye, that's true. Perfect.
For you to go to afterwards.
Perfect.
There we go.
Yeah, Neil sorted your
Neil's Hindu advisory service.
And I'm sure he'd happily give you a tour. if you'd like.
Certainly would.
I'm presuming there that she was being a huge cider fan and that she was actually talking about proper cider. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because I can...
Not convinced, though.
They might be meaning the fruit-flavoured stuff.
Ah, well.
But...
Well, unfortunately...
But you'll find that everywhere.
Yeah. Are we going to do this now? Is your next...
Okay. Well, let's move on into that juncture.
Right. We had a little argument between ourselves on Twitter, didn't we?
I don't know if I'd call it an argument.
Yes. I was tweeting the Edinburgh Cider Review, meaning I was tweeting you, essentially.
Right.
And I was shocked to discover that upon one of our listeners, you'll probably have the name to hand.
Nope.
One of our regular listeners, Cider Not, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He commented upon one of our grades on the league table.
Yeah.
And then you kind of agreed with him. And then unilaterally decided to eliminate all of what you deemed non-proper cider from our league table, thus leaving us with about maybe a third of what we tried in the show.
No. No, see, you're exaggerating there.
I am a little, but you're
exaggerating quite a lot there. I removed maybe four or five ciders from...
It's more than that.
...the league.
You took away Thistle Cross Whiskey Cask.
Now, I took away... To be honest, right, the league table itself has several... We've discussed this several times before, but the league table itself has got several fundamental flaws to it.
Ones that we've discussed, some listeners recognise, but want us to remain in the league table with all its flaws.
No, one of your friends...
A bit like...
One of your friends said that. Everyone else, I've had at least four other people complaining that we've got... The grades and the stuff that we've got in there, which I agree shouldn't be there. There's one... Name the people that have specifically said that they should remain in there.
Robert Ainsworth.
Yes, and?
Me.
Well, yeah.
Isn't my view more important than others?
No. Listeners come first.
So this is no longer a 50-50 enterprise.
The majority of our listeners... Well, that's one of the flaws, right? Flaws of the league table, right?
Yeah.
We agreed... Because there's stuff in the league table that we're comparing some things with other things that can't be compared. So stuff with fruit, for example. You can't compare a cider, like a really berry cider, to
I understand
something
that.
Else, right?
But that's one of the flaws.
So got rid of the berry ones.
See, I look at it like St. Andrew's Golf Old Course. Yeah?
Right.
It's the oldest golf course in the world.
Mm.
Yeah? Modern day, it has its flaws.
Right.
But it's still regarded as a great treasure. Yeah.
Our league table's not a great treasure, Neil.
No. But it was the original cider league table.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything. What the league table currently shows, at the very most, is a rough idea of ciders we like and ones we don't like. Very roughly, because of the flaws.
What, post or pre cut?
Both.
Both.
Both. The cut was ones which you can't even really compare.
Yeah, but you took away our top two ciders.
Which I bet you wouldn't put as top two ciders if you were to put them in there
no,
today.
No, but I still think Thistle Cross Whiskey Cask is a quality cider, and I still think it meets the definition, our original definition of proper cider.
Yeah,
but... And you've unilaterally decided that it's no longer meeting that definition. But you've unilaterally decided that one of my favourite ciders, which I deem a proper cider, is no longer worthy of our league
table. Well, that brings
us
onto a second floor, or not even a second, probably a third or fourth floor of the league table, in that all the ratings are made up of the average of us both. Which isn't really that scientific, is it? Because if you like something and I don't, it ends up getting an average grade, which makes no sense at all, either way.
Well, it's the most sensible way to do it.
Well, it's not really. I mean, cider is a very personal thing.
It sounds like you think there's no point in doing it at all, then, the league table.
No, I think the league table, because the scores itself, the current scores on the league table, this is what they mean. And they will only mean this. I mean, what they are currently at to people that have tried them in the same order that we have, after coming from the same stage of cider that we did, i.e. not been drinking cider for 20 years, over the period of time that we've drunk them at.
So would you want to delete the whole thing then,
so,
the concept?
Well, it is fundamentally flawed in many...
So why did we do it
many
then?
...ways. Well, because
we've done 24 shows in
nice,
this format, and now
nice
you're questioning
listening.
The format.
No, I'm not questioning the format of the show. We're questioning the league table, which, because our...
We try ciders, we grade them, we put them in a league table.
Because our tastes have changed over time as well, they mean nothing, the scores, right? So, what would be better is rather than grading them exactly to the 0.75 or 0.24 point, whatever it is, it's more like coming up with four groupings. So you've got ones we hate, ones that are okay, ones that we like, ones that we love. That would provide a much better representation
but the whole
of the
point,
league table.
No, because I disagree.
If we were to have all the drinks, if we were to have tonight all the drinks in the league table and grade them, the order would be completely different, but, wouldn't it?
Well,
wouldn't
that, it? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
But that's one of the flaws that we've discussed. And the thing that I would say is this show has a shelf life, right? We're getting a bit more serious now, right? But I'm going to go down this road, right? This show has a shelf life. The league table was a record of our entire podcast history, and I quite liked it for that.
Yeah,
I recognise its flaws, but it was.
I know it's a nice record.
It was the
for
original
us.
Function of
it's
our
a nice
show.
Record for us, but that doesn't mean anything to anyone else.
Yeah, but we could. Okay, right. I would suggest my compromise. Yeah.
Okay, go on.
My compromise would have been had you not unilaterally decided to delete. Something.
I haven't actually deleted them. I've just hidden. So
oh,
they're
right.
Still there.
Okay.
Because I foresaw this discussion.
You could put another filter on it to say not real, part of the cider journey. Okay. And then you could do a link to a little explanation of the fundamental flaws of the league table and why we've kept them in there.
Okay.
That's what I would have liked.
I like that idea. It's a lot more work for me than just deleting them, which is why I would just delete them in the first place. But no, I do like that. Because even if we were going to be roughly... Because I've in past shows, I've been thinking about putting together my top five sires, your top five sires,
yeah.
Something like that. But even if we do that, we can still keep in the original grades because...
Yeah,
but as long as we make sure that they are clearly not what we think of them now.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all for adding to the website, and I'm all for creating new features that more that demonstrate our true feelings towards certain ciders more accurately. But I'm not for deleting everything on the league table. It's the record of our shows.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
And it's a unique selling point of our podcast.
It's just easier to delete than come up with ways
what
of
it's worth.
Explanation. But no, I agree. If I find some time, I shall find a way of developing some new features to make it a bit more obvious and just mean a bit more. I mean,
and
there
I think,
we can leave
yeah,
them
this
in
will
as
help you, your more fundamentalists on Twitter, etc. as well, that look at some of it. Because... there's people that listen to our show and they quite like the show, maybe. They're cider fans. The proper cider fans that listen to us. And they just come up with it. They see a cider that we've graded and they just cannot understand it. And they all of a sudden think they don't know what we're talking about. And this is what you want to avoid.
Yeah.
And also pissing off certain cider makers like Walk Mills, etc. So I understand why you want to do something. I just think there's a compromise to be had.
Okay. I'm happy with the compromise.
Okay. That's good. That was we settled that properly.
Yeah, that's a very civilised discussion, I feel.
Yeah, it was. It was good. Any further correspondence?
Graham Rose tweeted us. I don't
Graham
know if
Rose,
you saw this.
Friend of the show?
Friend of the show. Something very exciting, actually.
Okay.
This was a snippet from, I think it was Cameras magazine, about a new online cider club.
Online cider club?
Called Cider Bods. And basically, you subscribe.
Yep.
And they send you 12 different bottles of cider every 3 months.
This sounds quite good.
Yes, it does. Along with tasting notes. And every week they have a live tweet up where you tweet what you think of the cider.
It's a shame our show is maybe coming to its end.
Well,
its
no,
life.
It's a shame I'm leaving to Canada. Otherwise, I would have signed up to this immediately.
Yeah.
You can make use of it.
How much is it?
£45 every 3 months. So it works out as £3.75 per week, which isn't bad when you consider... that's cider and postage.
How many bottles do you get a month?
It's basically a bottle of cider a week.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So ciderbods.co.uk. But it's a very cool idea.
But it's random ones, isn't it? So, you, like, for instance, like we've now had quite a few different ciders. We've well over 100 in the show, haven't we?
I don't know. I think we have. Must have.
25 well
times
three, at least.
Maybe 100-ish.
Yeah, about 100. So we've maybe had about 100 ciders. So there's going to be a lot of repetition for me.
Well, I don't know.
And the ones that I know I definitely don't like.
It depends where they get these from. I mean, a lot of the ciders we had them just because we could get our hands on them either in Edinburgh or at places that we go.
Yeah, but we sourced them. And we also, whenever we went to a place, we'd try and get the cider.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I didn't see, I was in Windsor this weekend. Didn't see any cider, apart from one, which was a bizarre concoction. It wasn't a proper cider, so you'll probably be against it.
Oh, yeah, you
sent
me a
principle.
Photo of this.
Yeah. It's a... let me get the photo up here. It's the same people that make Corona.
Oh, right, okay.
Or Desperado, the beer that's got tequila in it.
Yeah, Desperados. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this is a cider with tequila and lime in it.
Okay, so it's basically a Desperado cider.
Yeah.
Sounds
5.5%. It was okay, actually. It was okay. In the sense of Desperados is okay because it's just kind of different. Didn't taste like cider.
Yeah, do you know...
No, it tasted a bit like cider, but it tasted different.
Do you know where the cider comes from? No. I think I looked up on the website. Did I think it said Herefordshire.
I didn't check that.
But yeah, no, I'll be up for trying it. It's definitely not cider. But I imagine it could be quite a decent drink, but...
I think that was in a kind of generic kind of Westons or chain pub in Windsor. So maybe in these kind of chains. Have a look for it if you're down that way. I hadn't seen it up here.
No, I think it will probably... It sounds like it's something that's relatively new, because I did look up. I think the Twitter account only opened at the end of last year. So it sounds relatively new. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is making its way around the pubs and will be in Edinburgh shortly.
Okay.
But I will look forward to trying it. Yes, we agree it's by no means a cider, and it's probably killing cider by putting tequila and lime in it. But
interesting flavour combination.
I'm sure the alcopop shall be quite nice.
Yes. Anyway, I interrupted you there. We're discussing something else.
Cider buds.
Cider buds, yeah. Anyway, it sounds good. We don't want to labour the point. We're running out of time. Is there anything else of note?
It's getting on a bit. No, we are good. So as usual, follow us on Twitter at CiderView.
Yep.
Get in touch with us, theorchard@ciderview.com, if you have any suggestions in Edinburgh for cider pubs or ciders to try, or if you know what cider the Pope bought the Queen. No, wrong way around. The Queen bought the Pope.
Yeah. That's question of the week. What cider did the Queen give the Pope?
And do get onto ciderboz.co.uk and say that we sent you, and they might end up giving us some free cider.
It's a very good
idea.
We can only
hope.
The Edinburgh Cider View informed me that is your template tweet.
Yes. Sounds a plan.
Okay, that's all for the Edinburgh Cider View episode 24. We'll see you for episode 25 shortly. Goodbye.
Goodbye.